Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we want to say thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for bringing us together again. We pray that, Lord, you will speak to our hearts, affect our lives. Thank you for the presence of your Spirit. Let us not leave this place the same as we came, O God. In Jesus' name I pray. And somebody said, somebody said, somebody said, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 10. Are you glad to be in church this morning? All right. Exodus chapter 10 and verse 22. The Bible says that, and Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. Oh, how I wish we could turn the whole place into darkness for 3 days. I tell you, 3 days before election, darkness. Chase, man. Yeah. An election morning, bright and sunny. They'll ask, what's happening? There's some people on Freeman Street. I met the police inspector in Madia Thursday, and he was asking, oh, what church am I from? It's a Lighthouse. I say, where is that? I said, Freeman Street. I said, oh yeah, I know that church. No further questions. I said, this man, the Bible says, they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. 3 days you could not leave your house. Can you believe it? You see, that's how God is. I mean, if we are serving this God, and we kind of have some, if you want me to, if I should use the word, crazy happenings, then we should just go and drink some high wine and just sleep. Because if we really profess that we have a God, then ladies and gentlemen, we must really also experience certain mighty things in our lives. Otherwise, we should just go and drink Banco. Yonet, Banco wine. Drink a case and sleep. Prince, half case will work for you, oh? Prince, half case will work for him. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Again, Malachi 3:18 is being emphasized here, Ashanti, that there is definitely a difference between those who belong to God and those who don't belong to God. And it's just a matter of time. You see, one day, Jesus spoke about a man who went to sow seeds in his farm. And the wild men slept. The enemy came and also sowed some seeds. There are good seeds here and there are bad seeds here. But there is a time when they were asked, when they asked the master, what should we do? The master said, wait. Let all of them grow together. Is it because if you don't take care, you can take the good at a certain stage. But so anything that is bad, time proves it. Because the truth will only become clearer and clearer anytime, anywhere. The truth is not dependent on the weather or the anything. The truth is stronger with time. Do you get it? That's why Jesus said, a bad fruit cannot bring forth good fruit. A bad tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Do you get it? So, in the same way, the people of God and the people who don't belong to God, there is definitely a difference. There's a clear difference. You might not see with your naked eyes, but there's a clear difference. Because when there was darkness, one side experienced light, one side experienced darkness. How is it so? Because God is able to do just as he said he would do, isn't it? That's why you shouldn't give up on God. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says, and Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let them remain. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come there. Now, we're looking at serving God and serving God not alone. Gone are the days where you serve God and serve God. If you're a wife, you should really believe God to bring your husband to church. Yeah. You should really believe God. You know why? The Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. There is no man who cannot break down under the power of God. There is not a single man. You have to find out from God, what should I do? Because you cannot tell me that your husband is bigger than God. Who's your husband? You can't tell me that your wife is greater than God, that you can't bring your wife to church. You can't tell me that your children are so rebellious that you can't get them to come to church. We do not serve God alone. Moses made it clear here. He said, not only are we going with our children, but we are going with all our animals too. Who thought that animals were important when you are going to serve God? You've been in bondage for 400 years. Now, by the grace of God, you have some freedom and liberty. Instead of going with your children, you are speaking about your cows also. Isn't it fantastic? You're speaking about your cows, your sheep, your goats. They must come with you. Why are you not happy? Because you see, this journey that you are going, you are even walking, and your child alone is complex enough. Now you're going to take care of your children. You're also going to watch your six cows and your 40 sheep. How are you going to move? It's even more complex to go out with all these. No, but there is something that the Bible is telling us here, that anytime God sets us free, he sets us free with it's a package. So you cannot serve God alone. Anybody under your control must be used, must be also part of your worship of God. The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Can you give me that scripture? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. You serve God even with your intestines.
I said, you serve God with your kidneys. And you'd be surprised that you serve God with your private part also. Yeah. That's why it is untouchable until it has been blessed by the Lord. You can't run away from that, no matter what you believe. Yeah. No, that's it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Your eggs as a woman, your tubes and your eggs must bless his holy name. All that is within me. Yeah. If you like, don't let it bless his holy name. You see what will happen to it. There are evidence all around. People who have not used their innermost and their things to bless his holy name. It has become meat for others. Yeah. A preacher said it very nicely. He said that. You see, the place where God dwells is the holiest of holies. So if your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, then there must be a holy, holy place. Should I say it again? I'll say it again. Some of you are quiet. I'm saying that. A preacher preached about it, and it was a very, very powerful message. He said that if the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, then just like you have this place here, which is the church, there's a place where the pulpit is at. The place where the presence of God is concentrated in a certain measure. So if your body also is the temple of the Holy Ghost, then there's a particular place where the pulpit is at. And that place, you don't joke with that place. That place, you don't play with that place. That is a place where if you don't take care, somebody will collapse and die. Because that is a place that belongs to God. Yeah. Yeah. That's the holiest of holies. What a place. Yeah. Huh. It belongs to God. And anybody who will access that place must have permission from God. The only person that has the authority to go into the place is one high priest, who himself must be careful before God kills him. I don't know if you understand what I'm telling you. It's a real powerful revelation. And when you understand it that way, you'll be very careful what sacrifices you allow on your altar. Without spot or blemish. Yeah. That's why there's going to be judgment for anybody who is allowing unnecessary, unapproved sacrifices on the altar. You are bringing pigs. Pigs are being sacrificed on the altar. Pigs, donkeys, horses. Horses, sizes like horses are coming to be offered on the altar. Be careful. The Bible says, anybody who destroys the body, God will also destroy you. Yeah. Is it a nice revelation or not? Those of you who don't know the use of it. Yeah. You don't know the use of it. I'm telling you the use of it. It's sacred. Yeah. And if you're a woman, then you have the cherubims and the seraphims. You know, the... In the olden days, The ark of God was there, and there were two angels overlooking the ark. One was called a seraphim, and one was called a cherubim. So when you're a woman, not only do you have the altar, but you also have two angels. One called seraphim, and one called cherubim. Look at the person sitting there. Look at their face. Tell, why you tie your face? Tell the person, this church, we don't like faces that are not attractive. See, most of the time, people whose faces are not nice, there's something going on in their head. They have a problem in their mind. Because as I'm preaching, I see many faces. And I see some faces that are not. So I had to say it. I mean, when you are home, you can do that. But when you are under my care for that few minutes, no, it's not allowed. You have to smile. You have to skin your teeth. You see, even if you are bad, just skin your teeth. Who know that you are bad? Yeah, if you are feeling guilty, no problem. You just skin your teeth. We wouldn't know that it's you. You wouldn't know. So we are zeroing in on tithe. And I'm finishing this morning. Because next week is Easter Sunday. I have to preach something Easter. So, the tithe also, remember, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Remember that we are serving God with everything that is under our control. That's how come we went to the altar. Do you understand? Michaela, do you understand the revelation in the altar? And the cherubims and seraphims? They are holy. Don't let no uncircumcised Philistine, unclean being, come near the altar. Yeah. No, they shouldn't enter the temple at all to even have the privilege to touch. Sarah, are you listening to me? Yeah. So everything under our control must be given to God. We must channel everything we have in serving God, including our money. Now, I am focusing on money because Jesus stated in the scriptures that we cannot serve two masters. Jesus equated money as a master. And money has many people, including Christians, under control, including pastors and bishops and popes. Money controls a lot of people. Money makes a lot of people do all kinds of things. But as Christians, God is trying to teach us that. You see, money must be something that you control rather than the money controlling you. Whether you like it or not, if it's big or if it's small, it is controlling you. Even though none of them is good, but maybe you should be controlled by big money than small money. Are you with me? Because let's say if you are talking about tithe, once you have about $100, if somebody blesses you with $1,000, you can easily not give a tithe of $100. But what it means is that the $100 is controlling you. Many people also, they get a lot of money and then they realize that the 1/10 of the money is something else. You see, so what we are saying is that sometimes your tithe can even be big. Let's say you get some big money. Maybe somebody dies and leaves you an inheritance, and then you realize that the tithe is about 100,000. And then all of a sudden you say, what? 100,000 for the church? Nah, it's too much. Let me give them some little 10,000. No, whether it is big or it's small, what is happening is that money is controlling you. And you should not be controlled as a child of God. You should not be controlled by money, because Jesus Christ has set you free from any bondage and every bondage. So everything you have, you must decide that this thing, I will use it to praise God, including everything that is within you. Do you get it? So we are talking about tithe, and we're saying that the tithe, there are what, 7 different types of tithe, isn't it? Number one is the tithe of the flocks and herds of sheep and oxen, isn't it? What's number two? A tithe of the fruits from the fields. So if you're a farmer, you can't say that, oh, I'm a farmer and I don't have money to pay tithe. If you don't have money, you should bring pumpkin. Amelia, you should bring pumpkin. You got pumpkin? You should bring pumpkin. If you have kalaloo, you bring kalaloo. We will offer it as a sacrifice. Yeah, there's an altar we'll sacrifice it on. Don't worry. It'll be clean before you realize it's gone. Number three. What do you have for number three? A tithe of their industries which produce oil, wine, and corn. Now, number four. What's number four? You don't have number four. You don't have number four. Some people are trying to say they have number four. I don't know where they came from. Okay, I'm sure they are in the first service. So number four, a tithe of the smallest possessions. A tithe of the smallest possessions. A tithe of the smallest possessions you got. Most of the time, when what you have is small, you find it very difficult to tithe. If I give you $500 right now, it will not be likely for you that you pay a tithe of it. Because $500, you just, Aikuna, is that you? Yeah, you spend the $500. Faith. I'm sure you have an altar and cherubims and seraphims. Hey, it's holy. Why are you laughing? Are you jealous you don't have seraphims and cherubims? I'm sure you have somebody, your little ones. Yeah, your big ones and little ones. Your small, medium, and extra large. Yeah. Extra, extra large. Angels, they come in sizes. They are small angels and they are bigger angels. It's true. He says, have you not seen bigger angels before? Yeah, so what I'm saying, I'm not lying. Yeah, there are seraphims and cherubims, big ones and small ones. Pastor E. Hey! A tithe of the smallest possessions. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. Matthew 23, verse 23. Are you twins? Are you sisters? Or you're not twins? Okay. You look like twins. Matthew 23:23. Jesus is talking about the Pharisees. He says that, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the others or the other undone. Now, Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees for doing one part of what was expected of them and not doing the other part. The one part they were involved or engaged in was the paying of tithe over something little. If you look at mint, how much is a mint? $10. Can you believe that the Pharisees will pay tithe over mint? It means that the Pharisee will pay tithe if they even get $10. Mint of $10. The Christian pays tithe, $10. Somebody bless him with $10 and he pays a tithe over $10. How many of you will pay tithe over $10? Because if it's $10, we see it on the floor, we don't pick it up. But you have to pay tithe over even the smallest thing you have. And we take these things for granted. We ignore them. We hardly pay attention to the little things. You see, human beings are so selfish and greedy. It is rather greedy. We like big things than small things. I said, we are so greedy that we prefer bigger things to smaller things. So when it is small, we don't respect it. When it is small, we don't pay attention to it. But when it's big, that's when you see that some people, they become like policemen. They guard it. But little drops of water makes a mighty ocean. It is little hinges that swing big doors. If you see a huge door, it is just being operated or controlled by a small hinge. Little things make a big difference. So your faithfulness over your $500 you get, the students especially, those of you who go to school, including my children, when you get money, all you are happy with is go to the Chinese shop to buy something. You forget about tithe. Because this is me money. It's a little bit. A little $200. I should not take $20 and tithe. When they want to pay tithe, they come to me to ask for tithe. I said, what work do you do that you are coming for tithe? When we give them money, they spend all the money. No, if you can be faithful in these little things. Because the Bible says, he that is faithful in little things is that person who will be given charge over much. It starts small. Everything starts small. I tell everything starts small. Sometimes even if you look at a girl, now these little girls around, some of those out there, you give one of them 10 years. When you see them, you say, what? You travel and come back after 10 years and see those who are 55 years over here. You'll be very surprised. Even now in our church, we are about 10 years old. People who were 5, 6, 7, 8 years old when we started the church, they are now big people in the church. Yeah. Timothina was a little girl. Look at now, she's singing in the church. So, if you do not respect little things, and not honor God and respect God in the little things, you are not doing things right. And you are allowing little things to control you and control your destiny. Number five. Number five is a bonus point. If ever the tithe is used, it must be replaced with interest. I'm talking to the thieves in the church. The Christian thieves. You know, there are two types of thieves. Yeah, worldly thieves and Christian thieves. Jolene, are you a Christian thief? You said no. Okay, we'll see. Nobody will say they're a thief. Even when you catch them stealing, they'll say, oh, this is my first time. They never acknowledge. Eh? How many of us have stolen something before? Marcy, hey! I thought you were an angel. You were a cherubim. How many of us have stolen something before? Chase, you, your two hands are your two legs. No, some of you should lift up your two hands and your two legs. If you have stolen before, lift up your hand. Not just one. Some of you, if you have to stand up and stand on a chair. You say, everything. Now, we have all stolen God's money before. In fact, some of you are still stealing God's money. Now, there's a scripture that says that if ever you use the tithe, you have to pay it back plus interest. See, the principle of interest is actually God made, not man made. You go to the bank and they say, okay, we'll give you 6 million to buy your house. If you can't pay the 6 million now, it means that every day that you can't pay the 6 million, you have to give us something back. Interest. That's what it is. We give you 6 million today. If tomorrow you bring the 6 million, everything is finished. We've forgotten about it. But if you can't bring the 6 million tomorrow, every day that you can't bring the 6 million, there's a certain calculation that has been activated. That's how come when you borrow money from the bank, you pay more than what you borrowed. And that's how they make money. So the longer you take, the more money you pay to the bank. In a similar sense, Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. Leviticus 27 and verse 30. The Bible says that, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Verse 31 says that, and if a man will at all redeem any of his tithes, he shall add there to the tithe the fifth part thereof. You have to pay interest. Yeah? So all of you who have stolen your tithe, if you ever want to make it right, that's where the redeem comes from. Some of you are sitting on God's money right now that I'm preaching. You have not paid tithe for February. Even January you didn't pay. And look at you. If somebody was to borrow money from you and promise you that they will pay and they don't pay, look at how you behave. And if that happens in the church, then you behave like somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus in the church. As we are worshiping, you are turning, you are looking around. Has she come? Has she not come? We are praising the Lord. You are looking around for the person who owes you money. That's how come in our church, we don't allow any business in the church. People are different though. If I allow Sister Michelle right now to bring some shoes from Italy, Italian shoes, when she's coming on Sunday morning, all that she's thinking is not to bring a soul to church, not to bring somebody to church. She comes with her bag of shoes to sell, and she keeps it at the back. After service, then she comes, girl, I got some nice shoes. Man, come and have a peep. Come and have a peep. Gucci, Mancini, Skeletti, Langella, Giuseppe. Nice brand shoes from Italy. And then you go and say, how much, girl? And then she says, oh, man, just for you, it's just 12,000. You say, what? That's a lot. So, no, you don't have to worry. You can take it and you can just pay me later. Every week you can just give me something little. It sounds so nice. You take it. Next Sunday you are walking in the shoes. You come on stage and you sing. The shoe you are wearing, you have not paid for it. You are standing on stage. So Sister Michelle, okay, it's 1 week. So, you know, all right. Next week. Like you don't like the shoe again. Pastor Isan, please press C. And then you are singing. Same shoes. Then after churches, Michelle is wondering, like, girl, you forget. You forget that at least every week you got to give me something small. He said, oh, man, don't worry. Next week. Next week she comes like she didn't see that you were in the church. And you begin to wonder, yes, what is this? How come this lady sees me and she behaves as if I don't exist? Now, pastor is the one who should come and solve the problem. Pastor, please, I want to see you. I'm thinking that you have some problems, some demons worrying you. You need some deliverance. You're giving me stress. Sister Wendy, bringing stress to me. That now I should be the judge between you and another church member. Problems. That's why we don't sell nothing. Thank you. Even if us, we don't even sell nothing. I know some of you have borrowed money from people around. I know that. I may not know you or your name, but I know. You got to be kidding me to tell me that I don't know that people borrow money from people in the church. Small loan, right? Microfinancing. And you have not paid. You are sitting down in the church, and the person is sitting right behind you. You are lucky if they get a stone, they will hit the back of your head. Yeah. That's how we don't entertain some of these things. Because something like that can easily cause people to leave the church and even stop serving God. But God is saying that if you ever spend your tithe, and many of you spend your tithe, you see, because all of it, this thing I'm talking about, the tithe and everything, it's all a question of control. Whether the money is going to control you or you are going to control the money. How many of you have savings account? You have 1 million savings account. That's how people do box hand. Because the box hand, there's a little bit of control over you. You know, you have to give it. And then after a while, you draw. But really, savings account, I don't think we can have more than a few people who have real savings account that they don't touch. Every money you have to touch. No matter what, you see, don't worry about savings. Some people worry, say, I cannot save. You cannot save. Especially if you do not have exercise control over money, your money, and channel it in the direction of God. Then when your money is there, something will come up. Something will always come up. Prince, you are supposed to be one of the rich people. Because you are living with mommy and daddy. So you are supposed to be very rich. But I doubt whether you have anything in your bank account. I'm sure your girlfriend has spent all your money. Or I should say your beloved. Who dumped you or you dumped her? Who dumped who? There was a dumping. Yeah. No, when you are living with your parents and you work, that is the moment where you must get rich. That you can look at it. That is the moment where you also don't get money at all. If you're ever going to buy a vehicle or anything, or when you are living with your parents, that is the moment, because you may not expend so much. Unless you know mommy doesn't work, then you have trouble. But let me ask you a question. Where is that money? Harry Bank. The money is going into her. The bank in the air. Harry Bank. Somebody said. Yeah. Because no matter how much money you have, the money will go somewhere. I said the money will go somewhere. So when the money comes, you should be faithful enough to channel it in the right way. You should exercise control of it. Money is like a vehicle, like a driver driving a vehicle. You have to keep an eye on the vehicle. You have to keep an eye on the money and take it and channel it in the right places. Otherwise, you'll be living your life. And you cannot find any money after working for so many years. You can't find any amount to show all the things that you've been working for. Nothing. So the tithe and the redemption and everything is just to help us to exercise control over money. I remember when Jesus had to pay his tithe, his tax. You know what happened? when Jesus had to pay his tax? What happened? He said, go. The first fish. I control the money. Isn't it fantastic? Maybe we should also try that, isn't it? There's a big trench at the back here. Yeah, Prince. Giddens. When you broke, go and stand by the trench and say, hey, fish, come. When you catch the fish, open the mouth. Maybe, you know, you may have a 200 penny weight of gold in the fish's mouth. Yeah, you may never know. If Jesus was able to direct Peter to catch a fish and bring out money to pay his and their tax, hey, maybe if you have faith, you can go by the riverbank and say, Lord God Almighty, I walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. The first fish I catch, let there be a coin in a fish's mouth. I hope when it comes, it won't be $5 coin. It must be a gold coin that you can sell and get something out of it. Ladies and gentlemen, God loves us. God does not want money to have control and dominion over us. We must have control over money. And but if we are able to give a tenth and give the tithe to him, he's going to help us manage money and control money in the way it must be controlled. Otherwise, money will make us even kill one another. Money will make us lie to one another. Money will make us do things to one another. Because money has the power, if you don't take care, to control us, to let us do so many things. Many people do so many things because of money. And you know, I can't go into all of that. You know it already. You're of age. You know what people do for money. People kill for money. Yeah, people take off their panties for money. All kinds of things. People lick bottoms for money. All kinds of things people do for money. Things people cannot do, they do it for money. What is it going to be for you? Stand to your feet, please. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes with me, please. Thank you, Jesus. For some of you, you need to redeem your tithe. You need to get back on track. You need to provoke God's blessings and God's divine protection over your finances. There's somebody here in particular, you need to redeem a lot. You have taken so much of your tithe for granted. And God is setting you free. This message that you have heard, God is setting you free from that bondage. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you so much. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for speaking to us. Your word says that we shall know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for what you have spoken to us, oh God, about this morning, about the tenth, about the tithe. Every little thing we own, every little thing we may possess, Lord, you demand that we exercise control over it so that the Holy Spirit will have his own way and will have his free course in our lives. Thank you that our lives indeed will never be the same again, because we will never say that we never heard of the truth. Bless our lives, O God, and take care of us even as we walk in obedience to your word. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name. You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell.
My name is written in the book of life, and I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.